I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Here you thought you'd said goodbye to us. Ellen and I still burn our Munich candle on our table during dinner. But I decided I needed to come back one last time as your bishop just to be with you in this time that's difficult. A number of people, many people, have written me in the past several months, and a few complain that I always start my sermons saying, "I'm the Bishop Pierre Whalen, and it's great to be back at the Church of the Ascension, a jewel in the crown of the Convocation of Churches in Europe." And that I shouldn't keep saying that you're a jewel in the crown because you don't feel like one. Well, in fact, this is like the old reply of a woman who's being flattered by a man. "I bet you say that to all the girls." "You can bet I say this to all the churches." But actually, I mean it, and I still mean it. And here's what I want to talk about. Let's start with the gospel, always a good place to start. This is the visitation of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. And you notice that the men are absent from this story, Joseph and Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband. So let's roll back the scripture a little bit and start right at the beginning of Luke, which deals with Zechariah in the temple. And he's married to Elizabeth, herself the daughter of a priest, and she's been childless. A very bad thing to be in the first century AD in Palestine, for a woman not to have children. I'm sure that it was lifted up to her every day that she was less than worthy because she had contributed nothing to the future of Israel. And Zechariah has a vision saying that he's going to have a son. Unfortunately for him, he doesn't believe it. And so the angel says, "Until your son is born, you're not going to say another word. For a priest, not to be able to speak again." Think about that. Or a bishop, for that matter. And then we shift to Mary's home, and Gabriel shows up and announces to her that she's been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of God, as we call her. And then she says, okay. Next, we come to this passage. Mary is now pregnant, so is Elizabeth. Elizabeth is further along. In fact, it was Gabriel who told Mary, by the way, Elizabeth, whom they called barren, has now a child. Why did Mary go visit her cousin? Well, there's a lot of interpretations, and the one that sounds the most reasonable to me is she really didn't want people in that little village to know she was pregnant. In the Gospel of Matthew, Joseph finds out she's pregnant, and it says, being a good man, he resolved to put her away quietly. Because if he'd complained to the elders that she was pregnant without him, she would have been taken to the gate of the village and stoned to death. So this is why I think she's with Elizabeth. And there's this, again, this feeling of expectation that when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the child, John the Baptist, as we know, leaps in her womb. The Greek actually says he exalted himself. And I've never been pregnant, obviously, but I understand that when a child moves in a woman's womb, it feels like the kid is jumping, right? Yeah? What do I know, right? Okay, never mind. And Elizabeth then, inspired by the Holy Spirit, knows that Mary is carrying the Messiah. And then Mary gives her great speech, which I messed up just a minute ago because I remember the old version. I'm an old bishop, you know. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And Then, of course, we go to the Nativity. One great New Testament scholar calls this whole chapter the community of expectation. That here we have this group of people who are expecting God to do something for them. And in fact, in Mary's Magnificat, she expands that to everybody. All generations shall call me blessed. Everybody. Abraham and his children forever are going to be helped. They're expecting something. They're expecting God to do something new. What I want to ask you, Church of the Ascension, on my really, this is my last visit, for you to think of yourselves as a community of expectation. Expect God to act. Expect God to show up. Expect Christ to lead you and the Spirit to be poured out upon you. Now, to become a community of expectation, you need three things. You need to know what the present is, you need to know what the past was, and you need to believe in the future. So what is the present? Well, your rector has resigned. It's effective at the end of the month, but his office is cleared out and he won't be back. The vestry is going to have a strategic planning process. They're going to invite a lot of people to join in that. I certainly encourage you very strongly to be part of that. But it's also to see where you are now, to get a good vision, a clear image of where this church is today. And then you need to look in the past, because when Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph were all expecting God to act, they also knew that things were not good and they hadn't been good for a while. And we know that from everyone that I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of people from here, including meeting with the vestry, that the church seems to feel like it's gone downhill. Well, okay, could be. Who's responsible? Well, let me tell you, the first person I hold responsible is me, because I didn't see it coming. I'm the bishop. I'm the most responsible. That's what being a bishop is. And before you, I take responsibility for the fact that I let this get so out of hand. People will say, well, you didn't know a bishop. Well, maybe I didn't, but that doesn't excuse me from my responsibility. So I'm taking my responsibility for this now before you. And now, having done that, I can invite you to take inventory of your own responsibility for this situation. Because it's not just somebody who, messed everything up and now we've chased him off and everything's going to get better. There's a reason why this happened. And it's not just one person's fault, though clearly. So that's part of becoming a community of expectation, is to look at how do we get ourselves into this mess in the first place. And the people in Luke's gospel knew all about Israel and her failings. And they viewed the Roman occupation as the consequences of their failure. That's a great, big, huge thing. But for you, there's a reason why things aren't. And it's not just Steve. And it's not even just me. It's all of us. And having put that forward, is no time to dwell on it. Once you've confessed your sins, you get absolved. You got to confess them. But then when they're confessed and out, then you say, okay, we move on. God is here. God is pushing us into a future that God wants for you and for me. That's where you become a real community of expectation. Having a lucid view of who you are as the church today, why you got yourself into this particular predicament now, and where God is calling you to go in the future. And that's really the heart of the matter, because the past is past, can't change it. The present is Well, it's just gone by. Why? I click my fingers. Well, another present just left. We're being pushed inexorably into the future. And the heart of our faith is that our future belongs to God. Sum up the gospel, that's it. Your future does not belong to you. It doesn't belong to the random forces of the universe. It belongs to God. And that is the choice that God has made before you were born, before I was born. The whole point of this Christmas story is about God choosing to be one of us so that we could know who God really is. God is like Jesus. And Jesus has come to you and to me now, in this place, in this real world, to make us part of his life. We call it the body of Christ, kind of a fancy word. But basically, the community of expectation are people who know the future belongs to God and that it's a good one. It's a good one for you and for me too. So how do we get now from present to past to future? There's a little missing piece left, I think. Probably other pieces too, but what do I know? I do know this. The key to being the Church of the Ascension in the next 115 years, because that's how old this church already is to be the church. Sounds simple. Sounds ridiculously stupid. Be the church and we'll be the church. What does that mean? Well, recall the promises of baptism that we've all renewed from time to time. The first promise is we will be the church. We will go to church. We will study the scriptures. We will take the sacraments. We will be part of one another. We will care for what happens to the other person in the among the members of our church. That's the first promise of baptism. And the second one is to be willing from time to time and as the Spirit moves you to proclaim that the future belongs to God because of Jesus. To proclaim the Word of God, that's the promise. And to do that not only with your actions, because all of us kind of like all Episcopalians hate that word evangelism. Presiding Bishop Michael Curry at his installation sermon in Washington Cathedral, he said, we're going to start evangelizing as Episcopalians. And he said, stop, call the Washington Post. The new presiding bishop used the word evangelism and Episcopal in the same sentence. But really, it's being who you are and being willing to say it and to act like it, both. And then the third is that we will look for Christ in other people. And we will look to serve Christ in other people, including people we don't know. Because there is a Christ in me. That's what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And to seek the Christ in you is the work of the Christ in me. To seek and serve Christ in other people. Not just in the church, but outside the church. And then the work that we have to do goes beyond that. Because there's a lack of justice in this world. There's definitely a lack of peace. And there seems to be more and more of injustice and war and strife every day. That we will strive to end that. Doing so, beginning by respecting the fact that every other human being is God's creature too, and every other human being has a future that belongs to God, to respect that dignity. This is the promises of baptism. I'm sure there's other things that go into being the church, but this is what we know. It's in the prayer book. We say it about 4 or 5 times a year, and we mean it. To become a community of expectation is simply to live into those promises. As hard as that is. I have no doubt in my mind that this church has had a great past. And I can tell you a lot of stories over the past 115 years that have been told to me that make me proud to have been your bishop for 17 years. Well, you got another long stretch ahead of you to be the Church of Jesus Christ in this place, in this time, with these people. You have a long, long stretch. As long as God's future is for us to stay here, when that ends, well, that's another story. But for now, be confident. This is worth doing. There is nothing, in my mind, more important than knowing where the time is taking you. It's taking you into a future that God has planned for you, and the only way you can get out of that future is to say no. And who would want to? I suppose it happens. And so say yes to God's invitation to become a community of expectation. The same invitation that the angel said to Zechariah, you're going to have a son. Don't say, I don't know about that. Look where that got him. He couldn't preach for 9 months. And what Gabriel says, and the God of a billion galaxies, the God of who created this universe and who is not a part of it, that God waited for a 14-year-old girl to make up her mind. That's some God. And she said, let's do it. She didn't know what she was saying. That's the community of expectation. And then she and Elizabeth got together and celebrated that something great was going to happen. They had no clue what it was going to be. And neither do you and neither do I, but I know it's going to be the future God intends for you if you live into it, every one of you. We're going to find you an interim priest. Might be another bishop. I'm working on it. Your vestry is coming together as a strong group of leaders, looking to inquire of God what is the future with all of you. And then you will come together and you are going to do new and great things you never dreamt possible. I'm telling you this because I'm speaking as your apostle. That's what a bishop is. And I'm speaking to you for the last time in this place. Expect the future to be good because it belongs to God. Because you and I belong to God. Because Christ came into this world to die for us that you and I might have life and have it now, as well as later. Live into that. Keep those promises of baptism. Look to one another and look to God in your prayers, in your words, and in your actions. And this going to be not just one jewel, it's going to be the jewel in the crown. And maybe by God's grace, I'll come back in a few years and tell you I told you so. And now, as Bishop Curry would say, and all God's children said,